You're listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
But more often than not, Bobby, they just wanted assurance. Am I doing the right thing? Does this coverage mean what I think it means, right? They understand that this is not the type of product that if you don't like it, you just return it. You're like, oh, that doesn't cover my loss. Well, I'm going to exchange it for one that does. It's like, no, right? You missed out on that. So while they don't want to spend a lot of time engaging with insurance, it is a set it and forget it type product. They also know it's vitally important and they don't want to screw it up.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to the And I Quote podcast. I am your host for today, Bobby Calise, and I'm the VP of Distribution at Coterie. Today is actually my first time hosting our Coterie podcast, and I couldn't be more excited about our guest today, Rob Galbraith. Rob, so excited to have you on our podcast. You and I actually have a little bit of a history together. Back in another chair that I sat at a previous carrier where I was basically leveraging your expertise to let the folks that I work with understand what the future of insurance is looking like. And you bring a different perspective at the right time when an industry needed you the most. And I'm just so excited to welcome you to our podcast.
Thanks so much, Bobby. Yeah, it's so great to reconnect and glad we kind of have this space and can continue kind of the conversation I think that we've had kind of off and on, right? And for the benefit of the listeners and the audience members today. So yeah, really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today.
So excited. So for our audience, can you just talk about a little bit about who you are, how long you've been in the industry, and your background and kind of your passion for, basically change the paradigm in the insurance industry?
It's interesting, Bobby, because I'm kind of going back to like my early, career this year. So my son is a high school senior and he's applying to colleges, right? And he's actually taking economics at high school for his senior year. And I did the same thing when I was in high school and really loved that class. And so ended up going to Michigan State University, majored in economics. My first job out of college was at the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, D.C. So working for some of the top economists, deciding like what to do with interest rates, right, and all that. So very exciting time. I then moved to San Antonio, Texas, where I still live, way back in 1998. So I've been here almost 25 years now. So when I moved down here, I got advice from a couple people that said, hey, there's a fantastic carrier that's headquartered in San Antonio called USAA. You should do whatever you can to get a job there. And so that's what I did. I actually worked as a temp employee for 6 months. Then I left. I worked for Citibank for 6 months and had the opportunity to come back to USAA as a full-time employee. And, that was kind of a no-brainer because I had really enjoyed my initial time there as a temp. And my first couple of years were actually in HR. I didn't know anything about human resources, but I did a lot of the data and programming, and they actually had a very advanced data warehouse for the late 90s. Like, it's pretty remarkable. I always look back at that time in my career, just have a special group of people with a vision for technology. And still to this day, like some of the technology that I use to give reports to executives, managers, just on staffing levels, right? What open positions were, raises, promotions, all the type of stuff that executives and managers would need to kind of manage their workforce. I was able to provide that. And we had a lot of reports just kind of on the corporate internet, like at people's fingertips. And still even to this day, like some of the reporting we did, I think is better than I've seen in other companies. So I'm always amazed that we were able to kind of do that in the early 2000s. Over the course of the first two or three years, what was kind of nagging at me was our CEO would get on and talk about how the company was doing at quarterly all hands meetings. And of course, I had this business mind, right? And I was like, I don't know anything about insurance. I want to know how this company makes money. So I actually started taking CBCU exams, spent 2.5 years and earned that designation and had the opportunity to get more into the business side. So had a couple stints in the finance department, supporting the loss reserving actuaries, and then later on supporting some of the pricing actuaries. And I actually became a pricing analyst myself. So determining what auto insurance rates should be in South Dakota and Wyoming, and eventually graduate to more complex states like Colorado and Washington and stuff like that. And, had a unique opportunity to actually move to the underwriting department, where I spent the bulk of my career in an advanced analytics role. So before the term data science or anything like that, that's essentially what I was. And so we would build things like customer lifetime value modeling and stuff like that. And I absolutely loved the work, but it just opened up like this whole range of questions. So one I remember was we had a rule, you know, you can't insure somebody's secondary home unless you insure their primary home. And we're like, okay, this is conventional wisdom. Does that make sense or not? Right. And as it turned out, like it really didn't make sense as a rule. Like secondary homes tended to have half the frequency, but twice the severity, which makes sense, right? You're not there as often, so stuff doesn't go wrong. But if something does go wrong, if you have a plumbing leak or whatever, like nobody's there to stop it, right, in the way that you might in your primary home. So that led to kind of some positions bouncing around the underwriting department, and eventually became a people leader and spent 10 years in a leadership position. And it was kind of during my time there that my team was responsible for managing catastrophic risk. And USAA was in this position where we wanted to write more business in catastrophic areas because it tended to be more profitable. You know, everyone wanted the best risks in the non-cat areas, right? And so there was actually very low profitability in those because everyone was targeting that. It was very competitive. And, you know, we realized if there's these areas that are catastrophe prone that other carriers are avoiding, they don't have the risk appetite for, if we can use advanced analytics and AI and aerial imagery and some of these more advanced technologies to do a better job of taking on more risk without, right, like jeopardizing, of course, the financial underpinnings of the company, that seemed like an opportunity. And so that's really where I got introduced to InsurTech, and was just blown away by some of this new technology that was coming from Silicon Valley. And so I spent a year really kind of coming to grips with it and processing my thoughts in the form of a book that came out in 2019 called The End of Insurance as We Know It. So the book has done just phenomenally well. It's given me the opportunity to speak to audiences all around the globe. And I left USA in 2019 to kind of pursue that. I also became the director of innovation at a company called AF Group that specializes in work comp, and was there for 2.5 years. And so I really had a passion for kind of driving change, leading innovation. And that's really where I got exposed to the agent broker space. So in the past, USA, obviously direct to consumer, and AF Group, everything goes through independent agents and brokers. And so saw the technology needs that they had, worked on a project that enabled agents to have online quoting capabilities for our products, and they could white label it. So it was looking like it was coming from their agency, but it was our technology. And just left last year to start my own company called Forest View Insights. So the past year kind of had the entrepreneurial hat, and after being in kind of the corporate world for, you know, 25, 30 years, kind of made the leap to the startup world, which I had been exposed to quite a bit. But I enjoy kind of being a company one. It obviously comes with its own kind of risks and perils, but just like you said, I've just been really passionate for many, many years just about the new technology and how it's really helping to modernize insurance in the 21st century.
Well, and it's amazing, Rob, too, because I made the same jump, right? And I love your story because you have so many different hats that you've worn in your career that you can kind of bring all of those pieces together and see the future. And so you came from a corporate world and now you're in startup world, which very similar situation here. And just the ability to move fast, the ability to influence is much different in startup world or founder world in your seat versus in the corporate world. And in some ways, I would argue that the work that you did at USAA kind of paved the path for some InsurTechs too, because the data that you were using and the technology that USAA has and their focus on kind of an omni-channel experience is almost aspirational for a lot of carriers in the industry right now. So let's dive into your startup. Like, what are you up to now? What is Forest View Insights? How did this idea come up? How did you get it started? I want to hear the story of the founder in you, Rob.
You know, like you said, I think one of the appeals of working for a startup is just the dedication and focus that you have when you're starting something small. And obviously you want to think about what scales. You know, I think all of us aspire to grow big. And so you want to give some thought to that, right? But what I guess what kind of would frustrate me is, and I think many people can relate to this, is like, you know, a day chock full of meetings, you know, it used to be in person, then we all went virtual with the pandemic. So it was just Zoom. And in some ways that was worse because, you know, before maybe you're walking from one conference room to another, or, you know, when your desk to an office or whatnot. So you know, we would joke, right, about like, hey, they need to have the high school bell ring and give us all 5 minutes to have a bio break and get to the next meeting and stuff like that in an office. Well, it's like, yeah, in Zoom world, you definitely don't have that. It's like you hit end on one and then you're dialing and you're talking about oftentimes like a whole different subject, like 20 seconds after you just wrapped up an hour conversation. And so it can definitely leave your head spinning at the end of the day. And so when you finally get done at the end of the day, you're done, except for the 200 emails that you got in, right, that you've now got to go through. And, you know, you can carve out think time and stuff like that, but it's very, very different in the corporate world. So, you know, I thought about kind of the success of my book and the things that I was really passionate about. And I would say there isn't any one thing that I said in the book that is super genius, right, or just an amazing insight, but really the synthesis and what I would say is the curation. So there's a lot of information that people already knew, but kind of packaging it in a way that's easily digestible, that helps them spur original thinking on their part for their company, their universe of the world, whether it's claims, whether it's loss control, whether it's on the distribution side, underwriting, you know, pricing, you name it. And then driving conversations within their organizations, right, about kind of the future and these longer term trends. And I had a friend of mine at USAA one time, she would always kind of blurt out the truth in interesting ways. Her name was Laura Bunce. And so she said one time, Rob, you always have your head in the clouds. And everyone kind of around her there said that and laughed. But I kind of knew what she meant, right? Like that big picture thinking. And so when I thought about Forest View Insights, it was like, I really want to rise above that day-to-day experience to focus on current trends that are definitely going to be playing out, that are playing out today, but particularly in the future, right? To help people shape the future of their organizations and to do so in a way that's what I would say easily digestible, so that you don't have to read that 300-page book or that 50-page white paper or listen to that hour-long webinar, right? I think we all have the best of intentions on educating ourselves as insurance professionals, and we want to be thinking about the future, but quite frankly, our day-to-day is so busy, and the first thing that falls off everyone's plate tends to be, you know, the innovative stuff, right? The side project type stuff or whatever, and we just kind of boil down to just the absolute like essentials of the day. So, you know, I kind of tell people, it's like, let me do that research and that homework for you and then give it to you in a very digestible way. So I've started with a newsletter. Folks can check out it, seetheforestview.com. The newsletter itself is called Forest View, and the idea is eventually there'll be more than one newsletter. It comes out twice weekly. It's totally free. And every month I have a different theme. So this month we're going to look very much at algorithms and AI. You know, I talked about my son's experience applying to college, for instance, and there's a concept that I had never heard about before called demonstrated interests. So colleges want to know what students are interested in them, like makes sense, right? Before they decide like which ones to accept and how much financial aid to give. Where you're like, well, how do you demonstrate interest? In the past, maybe it was a campus visit. Maybe you talked to an admissions counselor. But now, with modern technology, they can look at email open rates. They can look at how many links you clicked. They can see if you visited their website and how much time you spent on their site and what pages you lingered on and stuff like that. And I put a poster, there's a Washington Post article out there, like some of this behavior is actually kind of creepy, I guess, especially for those of us that are older, right? But it is just amazing that it's like, hey, you know, there's a lot more than just your GPA and your SAT score now that colleges are kind of looking at. And interestingly, demonstrated interest was through a survey of admissions people rated as a more important factor than either teacher recommendations, extracurricular activities, or even class rank. So I didn't know about, like, I wouldn't have known this had I not been searching, and it blew my mind, right? This wasn't something when my wife and I were applying for colleges. And again, this is just a good example of that AI algorithms, big data type world that we're living in. And so this month I'm going to be kind of exploring that. In the past I've looked at the, you know, human machine kind of interactions. I've looked at building an innovative culture and stuff like that. So each month has its own theme. And then, you know, twice weekly you kind of get like a 5 to 10 minute article based on that. Ultimately, you know, the audience is anyone that wants to innovate within their organization. So it could be the C-suite all the way down to the employee that was just hired yesterday. And my hope is very similar to the book, is just to drive conversations within organizations about the future, conversations that definitely need to take place. But I think, unfortunately, too often today, just don't because of the busyness of everyone's life.
I agree with you. One of the things that you just said that really resonated with me is just the inability for us to spend time learning, like what is going on in the industry. So I think what you're doing is needed, Rob, by a ton of industry leaders, especially those that have to be in the clouds and have to take that forest view on the business and build the strategies. And I'm going to give you a moment just to give a plug, like how do folks get connected to Forest View Insights, your newsletters, your content that you're building?
Yeah. So the best way is, see theforestview.com. That way you can subscribe to the newsletter. And then I would love to have people connect with me on LinkedIn as well and give me feedback right now. So I always tell people, and I think this is very much true of almost any founder, it's like you see a problem, an issue, most of the time that you've personally had some experience with. So I think about past me, right, as an innovative leader, trying to understand these things. You know, you might think that it's the CEO or C-suite's job to think strategically and long-term for the organization. And it is, but quite honestly, their day is jam-packed, right, with meetings and more pressing yep. decisions, frankly. And oftentimes, innovation teams are the only team within an organization that kind of has that explicit permission to look beyond the current year metrics, targets, goals, and objectives that are being met, that have that explicit, hey, you're helping our organization be successful 3 to 5 years from now, not just today. And so people would come to me as innovation leader and kind of ask me about these things. Well, where do I learn about, right, blockchain? Where do I learn about artificial intelligence? Where do I learn about cloud computing? So I always tell people at Forest View, I'm trying to create the WebMD, I guess, of like kind of the technology. It's like, just give you enough information, again, that's easily digestible, bite-sized. You don't have to read that 300-page paper so that when you do start to engage that vendor, whether you're proactively going out and looking for somebody or whether they're reaching out to you to kind of understand, you know, your pain points and see if there might be a fit, you're just more educated, right? And you can have a more intelligent conversation and see if there's really a good match there. So,
I love it, Rob. You're just what the industry needs right now, I think, just to cut through the noise and just give us the trends, help us see where we're going. And so to that point, it kind of brings me to my next question. Where do you see the future of insurance going? And like, what role do you see Forest View and Rob playing in the future of our industry?
It's interesting. I just was at InsurTech Connect, and it was so great to be together with whatever it was, 9,000 people or whatever there was in person, right? One of the things that really struck me was just the maturity, right, of the startups. I know kind of the first time everything was kind of direct to consumer. We're going to disrupt the industry. Who needs agents and brokers, right? These carriers are just trying to rip you off. Like, you know, we'll just eliminate the risk. There's, you know, who needs insurance, right? Just get rid of the losses and things like that. And I think you saw more nuanced and more mature, like, you know, we can't just sidestep the regulators, right? And there is a lot of complexity there. And particularly, you know, if you're, we know on the personal line side, right, you need just, you know, more than one line of business, right? The bundling is a big conversation. Auto, home, maybe you need some type of umbrella too, et cetera. On the commercial side, it's the same thing. And there are folks out there that are, say, work comp specialists, right? But at the time, usually you're going to need 6, 8, 10 lines, and you're going to want to talk to somebody trusted and understand that and make sure you have the proper amount. So it's not just about, right, the lowest price. This isn't really a commoditized industry, no matter how much people, I think, try to make it that way. And so we're seeing a lot more technology focused on the agent broker community. We see a lot more just enabling transactions, building up marketplaces. Yes, you do see some direct to consumer, and particularly I would say like MGAs and reinsurance and addressing you know, niche areas that may be paying super high premiums today where there is an ability to reduce losses or find coverage. And so I think that makes sense in a specialized area. But I just think it's more of a very much about enablers today rather than the disruption mindset of 5 years ago.
I couldn't agree with you more, which this is the point where I get to do the Coterie plug. So when when you think about Coterie's business model, we're really about bringing speed, simplicity, and service to our partners, whether it's a traditional channel or some of the non-traditional and more embedded relationships that we have today. And a majority of our business comes through the independent agency channel because, as you said, that's where a lot of the business goes and that's where it's going to stay. We are using, I think your data nerd might get a little excited about this. We're using multiple third-party data sources to feed into an automated underwriting engine, which ultimately brings a super fast experience to the agency or partner to get a bindable quote. So bindable quote within seconds based on a name and address because of the data that we're getting. And so as you think about Coterie's business model impacting the future of insurance, like, what are your thoughts there? I'm pretty jazzed about it, but Rob has a different point of view than Bobby. So talk to me a little bit about Coterie's business model and where you think that will help, you know, what's our future look like?
Yeah, no, I think it's really smart. And I love this kind of enablement and really, I always tell people, right, insurance consumers are just looking for the easy button, quite frankly. And I actually don't know that they care as much about a digital experience and a human experience, right? They just want the simplest path, but they also want to be supported along the way. So often at USAA, for instance, they were one of the first companies to actually talk about a bindable quote, like not just tell you where your local agent was, right, but to actually quote and bind coverage online. And it made sense because their business model had previously been snail mail. Then it had been 800 number and they set up a call center and they had, hey, military members move every 2 to 3 years. So building a relationship with a local agent didn't really make a lot of sense for them. The relationship was with the company. And it turned out, hey, not just military members want to do business online, but everybody, right? The general public, their kids, their grandkids, everyone else that's eligible for USAA insurance wanted to do business online. And that really fueled, I think, just some spectacular growth. And we would look at, you know, trapdoors and where are people getting stuck or whatever. It was interesting because we could see like the close rates in talking with agents, and they were always like pretty solid throughout. The online quote completion rate, right, was a little bit lower, but you saw a few more people kicking the tires, but still very, very healthy. But actually the most healthy was the combination. And you're talking about like 80%, 70, 80% type close rates where they might, omni-channel, right? They might start online and then they may call in. And when you start listening, like we'd be worried like, oh, are they not able to do business online? And sometimes that was the case. They would get stuck and they would need a rep assistance. But more often than not, Bobby, they just wanted assurance. Am I doing the right thing? Does this coverage mean what I think it means, right? They understand that this is not the type of product that if you don't like it, you just return it. You're like, oh, that doesn't cover my loss. Well, I'm going to exchange it for one that does. It's like, no, 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 right? You missed out on that. So while they don't want to spend a lot of time engaging with insurance, it is a set it and forget it type product. They also know it's vitally important and they don't want to screw it up, right? There's some big stakes at risk here. So anything that you can do to facilitate the confidence that the package that I'm getting, right, the mix of coverages, of price, of services is the right one for me, totally makes sense. At the same time, you know, and not to throw any shade at Geico, right, but that value proposition that they're always articulating, 15 minutes could save you 15%, that sounded great in 2000. I actually don't know that that sounds that great in 2022, right? We're like 15 minutes, that's a long time, right? And 15%, yeah, that's not a big savings, right? So to your point, it's like, I know, it, 20 years ago, USA used to take 45 to 60 minutes just to get a homeowner's quote. And you were asking them, right, what's the square footage of your home? And, oh, don't, you know, count the garage, it's not livable space. What about a basement? Well, is it finished or not? Right. And it's like, people don't know. Right. And they don't. So anytime you can leverage the third-party data, I think there is this expectation that you're going to know me as a customer. Right. And so that ability to not ask me a bunch of questions, just get the name and address, you figure out, right, what the square footage and the year built and the roof type and all that kind of stuff. And whatever it is, right, across different lines of business, you make that as quick as possible to get to the quote process, but then also give me the ability to shop around and to gain that confidence that I want, that I'm doing the right thing. And so, yes, speed is important, but I also think just that confidence in the quote, the package, the coverages, so that when you do leave the transaction ultimately, and hopefully you've established that initial relationship with an agent broker, right, that that is something that maintains over time and give you that confidence. So I think it really fits in with that theme of leverage people where they're most needed by customers, and for each customer that's going to be different. At the same time, like, let's reduce the admin burden, let's reduce this kind of, right, filling out the accord form, yeah, or whatever, right, and yeah, just get down to brass tacks, because that's really what you want to know. Here's the coverages, here's the price, here are the different options, right, and go from there.
Well, and to that point, Rob, I think what we're trying to do, and we've done really successfully so far, is just being able to position the Coterie product where someone wants to engage with us, whether that's an agent or a consumer. And then also using AI over time to not only make sure our data becomes more accurate, that's feeding the quotes, but then also recommending the coverages based on, so like an Amazon experience, right? Customers like you that bought this product also may like these. Well, customers like you are typically buying this coverage in addition to the standard coverages. Would you like to buy it, right? So it's a pretty cool place to be. I feel like, you know, to your point about commoditization, there's always going to be a point of risk complexity that it just doesn't work, at least within the foreseeable future. But I think that as we get smarter, we'll be able to swim upstream a little bit more with more complex risks and apply these types of models to the future. And, you know, everybody wants the easy button, Rob, right? Whether it's a consumer or an agent. So that's really what we're trying to do.
Like you said, it's like, how do you manage the complexity, right? So this is complex. I think that complexity is inherent in risk, inherent in the insurance product, which, as you know, is very, you know, it's highly regulated, right? So to the extent that you can manage that complexity away, right, and kind of, you know, that's your job at Coterie. You've got to manage all that. So that's a burden that you've taken on. But to the extent that you can simplify the transaction between the parties that are trying to, you know, make that transaction, right, whether it's a consumer, agent, broker, the combination, et cetera, that's all to the good, so that, you know, they can kind of focus on what's important to them and lead a lot of the complexities to you on the back end. And like you said, more and more we're seeing this, hey, I want you to know me as a customer. I want you to anticipate what my needs, those recommendations. And honestly, Bobby, I always tell people, it's not about the lowest price anymore, right? Those days of, and I've seen people, they read their full policy and they want to know, and they call and they have all these questions, right? And there's still a few of those. But to me, ease of doing business is such a high priority. People are willing to pay a little bit more for a vastly superior experience. Like, there's very few of us that are still clipping coupons today, right? So if you want to give me, yep, like an automated coupon, or I scan something in my basket and you tell me, hey, did you know you can save $1 on, you know, if you get one more of these or whatever, then that's fantastic, right? But I want to make sure that I'm getting good value, but I don't want to necessarily go through all that hard work just to you know, save a few cents. So I think that the ease of doing business and making sure that I'm getting a good value without having to go through a ton of extra effort is really where customers want to be at today.
I agree that the value that's been placed on time, I feel, has only increased. And for some reason, the pandemic has accelerated that. And I don't know the whys behind that, but I couldn't agree with you more, Rob. Throughout your career, you've done a lot of amazing things, and I just want to understand from you, what would you say are the two things you're most proud of, as you reflect so far on your journey?
Yeah, I think for me, just, you know, the big one was being a book author and then starting my own company. And, being a book author, I always tell people it's an amazing sense of accomplishment that's not necessarily tied to a title or a salary, right? Just like running a marathon, just like summoning a mountain. It's like, if you've done it, like, nobody can ever take that away from you again. So, you know, hopefully I'll write more books, but if I never write another book, I'll still always be a published author. And what that book led to, like, you know, just being able to travel the world and speak to audiences, countries that I never thought I would visit until I was, you know, well into my retirement, I had the opportunity to do that. And now I've been able to engage with insurance professionals from all around the globe and connect with them and see what innovation looks like. And then starting my own company, I mean, it's so scary to go from the warm comfort blanket of a larger organization. And, you know, it's wonderful to have that paycheck that you know is always going to be there for every 2 weeks, and that the menu of the health insurance options and the gym memberships or whatever it is, right? So it's very scary. It's very disorienting. It can be very isolating, quite frankly, as a founder, right? I wouldn't, you know, trade the experience for anything. And even if it fails, ultimately, I think it's just that much more rewarding, something that everyone, I think, would find value.
I couldn't agree with you more, Rob. I think I told my boss, one of our co-founders, Tim, I feel like a week at Coterie is a month in corporate. So every week becomes a month. And so even if you take vacation for a week, you feel like you've missed a month of work because that's how fast things are moving. And that's how fast things have to move just because of the position you're in as a startup. So, well, thank you for sharing that. I think those two accomplishments are fantastic. You should definitely be proud of yourself writing a book, publishing a book that became so popular so quickly. The book that actually put me in a position to want to reach out to you to say, hey, I need you to come talk to my team to help kind of paint the vision for what the future of insurance looks like. And that ultimately brought you to this awesome position at Forest View Insights, starting your own company, being a co-founder, and really trying to drive our industry forward. So I just big props to you, because I think the things that you're doing are just what our industry needs. And I just can't wait to see where you take Forest View Insights. My last question is kind of a curveball, but it's a fun one. If you were an MLB baseball player, what would your walk-up song be?
Oh, wow. I love that question. That's a fantastic question. Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I have to say it would probably be something from Florence and the Machine. And I'm kind of between like drumming song or howl or raise it up. So I thing that's like a little mainstream, but a little out of left field and just is unique when you hear it. So yeah, hard to pin down a particular song, but definitely something from Florence and the Machine.
I love it. So audience, you know what gets Rob pumped up in the morning as he gets to dive into his work every day. But Rob, appreciate having you on the podcast. It was fantastic to reconnect again. Super excited to see where you take Forest View Insights, and can't wait to connect with you soon just to see the progress that you've made. And like, certainly like we would love to play a part in that. So let Coterie know how we can support you in your efforts.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's opportunity for partnership, and just congrats on your move and your new role, Bobby. And I'm super excited to see where you guys take Coterie from here, and congrats on the success so far.
Thank you for listening to And I Quote, a podcast focusing on telling the stories of agents, brokers, partners, and small business owners. And I Quote is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie is available across the nation and is creating a product that brings our partners speed, simplicity, and service. Through our new Simply Bind experience on the Coterie dashboard, you can get a quote by answering two questions.
And seriously, we will do the rest for you, because relationships matter. Take a look at our show notes for more information and news.